Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Well, hey, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. And if you're new here, welcome. We sure love our listeners, so thank you so much for being here. I've been getting so much great feedback on this podcast, and I'm super thankful that you're here and for all of you that come back each week to listen. It truly means so much to me. Would you do me a huge favor and be sure to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform? And if you'd also be so kind to leave us a review, or if you're on YouTube, hit that like button and leave us a comment. That really helps us with the algorithms and helps us grow. So I appreciate it so much. And for anyone listening for the first time, I am Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017, and you can go back to episode 12 to hear our story. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real life conversations with you each week so that you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, you're going to love my conversation with Bryce and Chase from Sparks and Rec. They have such a great story of why they started full-time RVing so that they can have the opportunity to see each other more while Chase travels for his job. It is so amazing what he does and how much he works. He's definitely the hardest worker I know. They are the cutest couple, and it was so much fun getting to know them. You will love this interview. I learned a lot from them, and I know you will too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Bryce and Chase. Hi, Bryce and Chase. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I am so excited for our conversation today. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait for everyone to get to know you better and to learn from your experiences. I just watched recently your first YouTube video, and I loved it. You guys are the cutest.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot.
It was so much fun. And Chase, you are the hardest worker I have ever known. I am so impressed by your work ethic.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. And you just worked a long day and now you're home doing this podcast interview. So thank you so much.
Of course, it's all worth it.
Oh, well, I'm so excited to get started. I want to find out. Now, I know the answers to a lot of these, but I'm excited for our listeners to find out too. Tell us, how long have you guys been on the road?
We've been on for a little over 3 years now. Yeah, we just celebrated 3 years this past March.
Oh my goodness, that's so exciting. And who is in the RV with you?
Myself, Kenai, our Shih Tzu, who's 3 years old, and Bryce.
Oh my goodness, your dog is so cute. Aw. And what made you guys decide to try this RV life?
For my work, I wanted Bryce to be able to experience the great places that I get to go to here in North America and out of the country as well.
That is so cool. So tell us, what do you do for work?
So I am a welder in the power plants, refineries. In specific, I'm at a job in Virginia at a nuclear power plant.
That is crazy. That is so cool. Oh my goodness. And so when did you decide to do this welding career? Is this new for you?
Yes, it's fairly new. I started in fall of 2018 through trade school in Waco, Texas, and then finished up there February of 20, right when COVID was kind of kicking off. And then from there, just started working in North Texas, and then was there for about a year and a half, and then went to Arizona for my first job outside of Texas, and then been all over since then.
Oh my goodness, that's so cool. So I had mentioned that you have like the most impressive work ethic. How many hours a week do you work, Chase?
Anywhere from 72 to 84 hours a week.
Oh.
But that's standard 72 for sure, 6-12s.
Okay, I'm going to stop complaining about when I'm tired from working like a regular work week. I'm just going to think about Chase. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Oh, that's so awesome though that you, instead of being gone from Bryce, that you get to bring her with you. And I love that you guys get to share these experiences while you travel and see these beautiful places together. That's so cool. You're making priceless memories.
Well, when we started, we were actually hotel hopping, Airbnb, you know, all around Texas and even a little bit outside of Texas at one point. And with how expensive, well, especially now, how much hotels are and Airbnbs, it was getting crazy. And a lot of guys actually still do that for work when they come to these plants. And so when we moved into the camper, we actually saved a ton because we weren't having to pay for hotels. But, you know, at the same time, I was able to see him. There was one point I didn't see him for 5 weeks.
Wow.
So it's definitely been a huge blessing for us because now I get to see him every day, even if it's only for, you know, an hour, because he's working, comes home, you know, eats, sleeps, and then repeats. But it's still way better than not seeing him at all.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Oh, I'm so glad you guys are doing this. Similar to us, when we started RVing because we were doing travel therapy or preparing to do travel therapy. And instead of like packing and unpacking like every 13 weeks and staying in some, you know, furnished condo, and our dog is always afraid of like unknown places. And so he would be always uncomfortable. We decided, well, let's just buy an RV so we can always like have our comfort zone with us. And so our motto is wherever we go, we're always home. And it's so true. It's so awesome to wake up in these different parts of the country and still be able to sleep in your own bed every night. It is so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge blessing for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. And so what kind of RV do you guys have?
We have a 2010 Keystone Montana fifth wheel.
Now, is this your first RV?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you find it?
I found it on RV Trader. So when Chase was working, I was pretty much in charge of finding a camper. And so I had gone to, I don't know how many different dealerships just to see what they had. And then I was pretty much on RV Trader almost every day. And then I found the exact camper minus a few things at a dealership. Then I plugged it on RV Trader and found it way cheaper than the dealership from the original owner too. And so that's how we found it. And when we actually bought the camper, we didn't have a truck to haul it. So we had it hot shotted, or we hired someone to tow it. And thankfully, it only needed to be towed about 2 hours from where we picked it up. And we actually didn't have a truck for about a year or so when we bought the camper.
Wow, that is so cool. We actually did the same thing. We bought our RV before our truck, and we ended up having it towed to the RV park till we figured out what we were going to buy. And that's cool. That's an option for people that don't realize that. You can actually buy an RV before the truck and have it towed, you know, either by like our dealership, actually bought from a dealership, so they towed it for us. But yeah, there's actually companies that tow RVs for people who don't want to tow them themselves. So that's really good to know. That's a point that nobody's really brought up in all these podcast interviews. So I'm glad you talked about that. So when you were doing all your research, Bryce, how did you decide like on a fifth wheel versus, you know, travel trailer or anything else?
We really like the high ceilings.
Yes.
Since we knew we were going to be in it full time, we wanted to feel more like a home. And so I wanted to make sure it had a good sized kitchen. That's a huge priority for myself. And then that was pretty much it. We just wanted to feel like home. Now, we've taken out pretty much all the furniture minus the couch that's in here. And so that's helped make it feel way bigger than it was. We took all the valances out when we first moved in. So it's still the original camper. We just have taken a lot of stuff out to make it feel bigger. But we absolutely love it.
That is so cool. I love that you love your first RV. We actually loved our first one too. And I think that's what helped us fall in love with this RV life even more. I think if we would have bought our first RV and hated it, I think we would have just thought that was RV life and then said, this isn't for us. So I'm glad that you guys have a good experience too. What are three things that you love about this RV?
Well, for me, definitely the kitchen. For an RV, it has a really big kitchen, and I'm a big baker and cook, so that was a huge priority for myself. And then I would have to say probably the amount of windows. We have a lot of windows in our camper, and it just makes it feel so much bigger and not like you're claustrophobic or anything. And then probably the closet space as well, just because Chase does have a lot of work clothes, and that has been a huge help for us because we've saw some. And I already knew how much work clothes he has. And so when I would see certain campers, I was like, yeah, there's no way Chase's work clothes would take up everything that we had.
I never thought of that. Like all the work clothes that he had. I never even thought it. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of different clothes that he needs and equipment. Where do you put all your equipment and stuff, Chase? Do you keep it in your truck, or is there a spot in the RV that you store stuff to?
So I'll keep stuff that we'll use on a regular basis to like fix the RV in the pass through up at the front. And then I also have a job box that I have all my tools for work that I'll typically use at the job site. So when I get to the job site, they'll unload it with a forklift, and then it'll stay there till the job's over with.
Oh my gosh. So you have so many tools and equipment that they have to unload it with a forklift?
Yes, it's quite heavy.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you are amazing. This is so cool. I had no idea. I don't really personally know any welders. I thought I knew what that meant and what that job entailed, but wow, this is so cool. That's awesome that you're able to do this. And then since this is your first RV, and I love that you love so many things about it and it's really worked out for you, have you found anything or discovered like things that you really dislike about it and you wish that you could change?
Honestly, no.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I mean, when I tell you that we're very blessed with this camper, I mean, we absolutely love this camper. I mean, there's some cosmetic stuff just because of its age, but that doesn't really faze us because we've lived in, you know, very old housing before. And so that's never been a problem for us. But honestly, we absolutely love this camper.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's how we felt about our first fifth wheel. Every day, we had it for 4 years, and every day we're like, we love this. We'd walk in and be like, oh, it feels like home. It really does. That's so cool that you guys love it, and there's nothing that you would change. I'm so glad that you knew about the ceiling height, and that really feels more like a home. We didn't even know the term fifth wheel when we started looking. And travel trailers, we just called everything an RV or a camper. And then when we started going to RV shows, we looked at motorhomes and all the different things, and we loved the height. Like you said, the height being in a fifth wheel, it doesn't compare to any other RV. It just really makes you feel like you're at home. So that's cool. I forget, did you say how long is your fifth wheel?
It's 37 feet from the tongue to the bumper and a 34-foot box. So the living is 34.
Oh, that's awesome. That's perfect size to get into most places. That's so great. And then when you guys started doing this RV life and discovering like what you needed, did you guys do a lot of like research on YouTube?
We really didn't use YouTube a whole lot, mainly because it was hard because our RV life is a lot different compared to everyone else's. And so it was kind of hard to figure out what we needed and what we didn't need because we're not like remote workers where we can kind of pick where we want to go.
Right.
So we didn't really know what we needed exactly. But I think over the years, we've figured out this is what we need. This is what we don't need. You know, we've purged a ton of stuff from the camper because we just don't use it.
And we were very fortunate that when we did get this camper that, I mean, it could have been a nightmare, but there was nothing wrong with the camper when we got it. I mean, I didn't know how to check the roof. I mean, the slides. It was just like, yeah, we like it, so we'll buy it. So we're very thankful that nothing other than the water heater, I had to replace it. But other than that, the ACs are still original. We just replaced the awning about a month ago or so.
Oh, that's so good. And you said, Bryce, did you say you bought it from the original owner?
Yes, we bought this camper from the original owner. When we went to go check it out, we met them at their house first. If you buy from someone, I definitely recommend seeing how they live. Because when I walked into their house, I was like, all right, I'll take your camper. I don't even have to look at the camper, you know? And so they were very sweet, very kind. And the camper looked like it had just like rolled off the dealership lot.
Oh my gosh. That is so awesome. Well, that was like huge answers to prayer because that is awesome that you got to actually meet the owners and actually go to their house, see how they live. And they really took care of it. So you guys got such a perfect RV for you. That's so great. And then since you've been doing this for a few years now, I don't know if you guys had any concerns about starting this RV life and traveling. I know when, you know, we had no idea. We didn't even know anybody with an RV, never been an RV when we bought ours. And so everybody thought we were crazy. So we had like nobody to talk to ask for help or anything or guidance. But I don't know if you guys had the same situation, but we were concerned about so many different things. And there was a lot of things that were way easier than we thought. What's something that was easier for you than you thought about doing this RV life?
Sorry, that's our dog.
Oh, that's okay. That's so cute.
I definitely think towing. It's a big camper. I mean, there's longer ones, of course. It wasn't that nerve-wracking in the beginning, but, you know, learning your turns, swinging out wide, and truck stop fuel stations, that's the best. Very, very nice.
Oh, yes. So do you have a diesel truck?
We do. We have a Ram 23 one-ton dually.
Okay, cool. And then so you get to get the gas where all the semis get, right?
That is correct. Yes.
That's the best part. And when we started RVing, we didn't even know that was a thing. We didn't know we were allowed back there.
Yes, same here.
Yes. And that makes it so different. Like we're looking for a new truck now. And you know, we're thinking, oh, maybe we should just get a gas one. We're like, no, because then we'd have to get gas with all the regular people up front. And we don't want to do that. It's so nice to be able to have all that room and that special like diesel gas pumps and with all the big rigs. And it is so nice. Don't have to worry about maneuvering around all the cars and everything in the regular gas station parking lot. So that's so cool. That was a really big bonus. Then do you guys have like certain apps that you use like when you're traveling to find like the next truck stop?
We pretty much use Google Maps for everything.
I do have, I believe it's called RV Life app, and I haven't set it up or anything, but we found that just taking a measurement of the height, and there's going to be significant signs way before you get to the bridge or, you know, low
clearance.
Yes.
Right. That's what one of the things we were concerned about too, is when we traveled, are we going to be in situations that we're going to be too tall? And that is such a good point for people that are just thinking about this RV life is, yes, you totally need to know your height. People don't even think about that. And I've heard personally talk to so many people who've had horror stories of not knowing their clearance. And I actually have a personal friend who wasn't thinking and they went to turn around in a hotel parking lot and went through the overhang,
oh, no.
Like where you let off your guests, and they weren't even thinking, there's no, let me swing in here. There was nobody around, and they took off their AC units.
Oh, oh my goodness.
And it was the wife that was driving. The husband wasn't feeling well. So she's like, I got this, honey. And
oh,
and I was like, oh, I felt so sorry for her, because I'm like, that would be totally something I would do. I wouldn't think about it. So, oh, that's good. Yeah, that is true. Like once you know your height and then you can look for the signs and you're going to be fine. I always look for semis.
Yes.
If I can see a semi on the road, I know I'm safe.
We take a lot of interstates anyway when we travel. And so it's never been a concern of, oh, is there gas stations? I mean, when you go out west, yes, there are big stretches where there are no gas stations. But for the most part, we're pretty good about finding a gas station that, you know, we can go in and get gas.
Good.
Yeah, we have a 50-gallon fuel tank that came with the truck. And when towing, anywhere from 400 to 500 miles, depending on the wind, direction and everything. And then when we're not towing, we get around 800 miles.
Nice.
To a tank. So it's very nice.
That is great. Do you guys have a limit of like how far you drive a certain day, or is it just depending on when you work?
We don't have a limit. We'll just kind of drive, you know, we've driven 10, 12 hours before, and this job here was just 2 hours away from the other job. So that was very convenient.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
That rarely happens.
Oh, that's so awesome. Are you in control of when your start date is or not?
I am not. They give me a start date. They give me a general idea of duration of the job. And sometimes it lasts longer than that. And sometimes it's cut short.
Okay. Similar to when we were doing the travel therapy too, we would have to be there a certain day. And usually it was a 13-week contract. Is that what you call your job's contracts?
I guess you could. Yes, I'm considered a contract welder. And then we call the outages, you know, outages or turnarounds. And they range anywhere from 3 to 8 weeks. And then sometimes you can get on a longer job where it's, you know, several months to years.
What's your preference? Do you like shorter ones or would you prefer longer?
I prefer the shorter ones. I prefer the, you know, 4 to 8 weeks or so, because it's 7/12s, and then I get the 14th day off. And then you do that schedule till the job's over with. Because I like it, because then when we're done, we get to go and take off several months and be able to go and relax. Because there's no way, I mean, there are people that I do work with that do work like that all year round. And I just think for your body and for your, you know, mental, it's a lot.
Yes. And I'm so glad to know that you take a couple months off or more. That's so great. And yes, because you definitely worked hard for it and you need to enjoy some time off. Then you know, too, you're working all that, you know, like the light at the end of the tunnel is coming and you get some time off when it's over.
Yes.
So that makes you keep going for sure. That's awesome.
And sometimes it's either days or nights. There's been jobs where he's worked nights. So like 6 to 6, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Or right now he's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I've worked two jobs with him, and after I finished the first job with him, I was like, okay, I understand. Like, I get it now.
So what do you do, Bryce? Are you a welder too?
I tell Chase he needs to teach me.
Yeah.
Or at least be a pipe fitter. But no, There are some companies that will hire, they call them fire watch. And so you pretty much just stand there with a fire extinguisher. They teach you everything. And any type of, they call it hot work or sparks, welding. And then I just pretty much stand back and make sure nothing catches on fire. It's really easy, really easy.
Oh, that's cool. And that's really awesome that they have something like that for you, Chase. Yeah, I never even thought of that, that there's some danger in your job as well.
Definitely. Thank goodness no scary situation has happened to me yet, so we'll try to keep it that away.
Good, yes, absolutely. And so has there been anything like more difficult than you thought about this RV life?
I think there's been a few maintenance things that have stumped us just because with having an older camper, it is hard to find YouTube videos on certain things. Like we had last year, we were raising the camper to hook up and the legs fell.
Oh gosh.
And so our camper fell down and our slides were in everything. And we looked all over the internet trying to figure out what was wrong with it. We ended up through the NRVTA. They have a website where you can find RV repair people close to you. And so we had a couple guys come out the following day, and sure enough, we needed to get new legs. And we had to stay in our camper with the slides in for a week.
Oh, wow.
Because our camper wasn't level and we didn't feel comfortable pulling the slides out.
Right. So your camper fell, like you said, on the front, like the front legs went out and then it fell, or how did that work?
Yeah, I believe inside those legs, I've never opened one up yet, but there's a hex nut inside the legs with a piece of all thread that basically kind of goes up and down is what I'm kind of thinking the design is. And I believe that nut broke off in there, sheared off, and it just sent the legs just free falling straight down. So it took a nosedive. Thank goodness Bryce and I weren't underneath it, but it could have been bad.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I've never heard that even being a possibility.
Yes.
Wow. That is scary. And your truck wasn't under there, right?
No.
No, ma'am.
Thank God. Wow.
When it comes to backing or for Chase to pull the truck behind, you know, to hook up, we are very cautious when it comes to backing up just because of that happening. And so we always make sure that, you know, do a quick look, then come out type thing, because you just never know what could happen.
Yeah, that is so smart. When we first started, I'll never forget this. I'm just going to mention this for any listeners too, because it just entered my mind. When we were in an RV park, a really nice RV park, and there was like a ton of people around. It was in Florida. Everybody who is a snowbird RV in Florida in the winter. And so we were taking our first travel therapy contract, and it was like in April, and everybody was still there. And there was probably 20 people watching us hook up for the very first time, like to leave. So we had a fifth wheel. I went right behind, like literally underneath the pin. And I was having Randy, you know, back up. And I thought, I don't know why, I was thinking that he couldn't get me because the pin was in the way. And he totally could have crushed me if he didn't put the, you know, his foot on the brake. I don't know why I wasn't thinking that he could get me, and I was just not paying attention, and I kept waving for him to back up. And thankfully, the sweet man, he was a retired semi-truck driver, and he just came over really politely and said, please never get behind him when he's backing up. You need to always stay to the side. He could kill you if something happened to the brake. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. Thank you so much. You kind of learn things the hard way. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes people do learn where there's accidents that happen, but thankfully we learned just from, you know, a sweet guy who, you know, gave us some advice, or I probably would still do that without thinking, who knows. But yeah, I'm glad it's so safe to be, you know, away from the truck or away from the RV and just kind of have your eyes there and make sure like his foot's on the brake when you're getting close and then stand to the side. That's smart. And then where do you guys like to stay? Like when you find this job that you're going to, then do you look for RV parks around it, or how does that work for you?
We primarily stay at RV parks. And what I'll do is on Google Maps, you can pinpoint a location, you can save it. And so what I'll do is I'll figure out what plant he's going to be working at, and then I'll save it, and then I'll zoom out, and then I'll type in RV parks, RV campgrounds, different things, because Google Maps, it won't generate all the RV parks when you click it the first time. And so then I'll just start calling people, whoever's closest. And that's usually what we do. We don't stay at really any RV resorts, pretty much just mom and pop RV parks. Like the one that we're staying at right now, I found it through a Facebook group and also a coworker. So this RV park that we're at wasn't even on Like when you type RV parks by the plant that Chase is at right now, this will not pop up where we're at right now.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh, it's so good that you found that.
Yeah. You learn some things here and there. Like Facebook groups are a big thing if you travel a lot. Like I figured out if you type in the plant and then housing, because a lot of guys or people that own a house close to the plant, they'll rent out their rooms to them. And so a lot of people will post that. But then there's some people who have maybe one or two hookups at their place. And they'll rent them out to outage workers.
Oh, that's so nice. I never even realized that.
And typically, it's a lot cheaper compared to RV parks or resorts. Now, the East Coast is still more than we pay in the West. But, I mean, for Chase is only about 10 minutes away from the plant, and it's very nice.
Oh, that's so good to be so close to the plant, too.
Yes, I don't mind paying a few extra $100 a month just to be close to work.
For sure. That's awesome. Have you guys ever found, and this was something that we found when we were doing our travel therapy, that some mobile home parks will allow RVs in? Have you ever seen that?
I have seen it. We've never stayed at one, but I have seen them. I have called them. And the ones that, you know, depending on the area, you had to be there for a good chunk of time. And that just wasn't going to be the case for us. But I have seen that before. If you go on the Google Maps, you can do the satellite image. And some of them will show, you can kind of see that they have RVs there. And I found RV parks through that as well.
Yeah, that was a big eye-opener for us. We had no idea. And that ended up giving us more options when we were searching too. We just stayed in one not too long ago in Florida. It was all mobile homes. And then we felt kind of weird being there. We felt like everybody was looking at us like we didn't belong, but it was perfect. They had the concrete pad and hookups. It was nice. It was a quiet place. And it was like a 55 and older, and we're not that old yet, but they let us in because it was just short term and they probably just wanted the money, but it worked out. So that's another option. Well, good. And so how many states have you guys been in these 3 years?
With the camper, probably 13 maybe, but we've definitely been to more without the camper. We were in Pascagoula, Mississippi, so not too far from Mobile. And so we went to Florida for the day and spent the night. I mean, we didn't take the camper with us, but we've done a lot of trips like that that aren't, you know, there's no need for us to take the camper just for a day or two.
Right. We've done stuff like that too. So that's awesome. You guys have been to a lot of places in a short time. And what would you say have been your top five locations? It's really hard to choose sometimes, but if you guys can narrow it down, what would you say your top five favorites are?
Well, I'll save the top one for Chase because he's all giddy about that one. But definitely Chattanooga, Tennessee. We absolutely loved it. We were there for probably 7 weeks for a job. We were only supposed to be there for a couple weeks and it turned into 7 weeks. But they have a place called Rock City and you can see seven states from this location.
Oh, wow.
And they have these rock formations that you can walk down into and it's like a maze and it's awesome. I highly recommend anyone to go see it. It was absolutely beautiful. We love that. And then Arizona, we like Arizona. We want to see more of it because the plant that we go to is west of Phoenix. We absolutely love Arizona. And then number one
would be Colorado, in specific the San Juan Mountains, Southern Colorado. So yeah, we really like it there. We go there every year. That's actually where we'll go for a month after we get done with this job here in Virginia.
That is our favorite area. Oh my goodness. Isn't it so awesome there? We fell in love with it. That was one of the places that if we knew people, we would think about moving, but we don't know anybody. That's so far from our family and friends in Ohio and Florida. But oh, that is so hard to leave. We were there almost 9 weeks and oh, that was so cool. I'm glad you guys got to go there. Now, did you go there for a job or just to go actually just to go on vacation?
We just go there for vacation. That's kind of the one trip that we set aside to do every year, no matter what.
Nice. So what city or town or whatever do you guys like around there?
The mountain town is called Creed. So it's Creed, Colorado, which is 2 hours north of Durango.
Oh, okay. That's so cool. We were in, yeah, Durango. And then like, did you ever see like the Million Dollar Highway or anything like that? Telluride, Ouray, Silverton. It's right around Durango.
So Creed is kind of in between Durango and Alamosa, and then you just go up north a little bit. But it's about probably like 500 people are in that town. But when the summer hits, there's definitely more people. We try to go before the summer rush. But the first time we went there with the camper, we were there for 3 weeks. And when we got closer, we didn't really have a job lined up. And we were both looking at each other and we're like, man, it'd be so nice if we could stay here for a couple more weeks. And so we walked into the RV park that we were at and we're like, hey, do you by chance have, you know, a couple more weeks in the spot that we're at? And they looked and they're like, yeah, we actually do. And I was like, all right, we'll take those extra 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because that town, it will book up, especially in late June to July. They do a huge July 4th parade. And that town, it's crazy how busy that little town is. But we absolutely love going there. Very relaxing. We have some fly fishing trips coming up there that we love to do.
So fun.
Because I grew up growing there. My uncle has a cabin there, so I grew up going there. And then when Chase and I got married, I brought him a couple times. But when we brought the camper up, it was just a whole nother, you know, level of, all right, this is definitely somewhere we gotta come.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I was wondering how you guys found that little town, if it was so little, but you grew up going there. That's so cool. What great experience and memories that you made.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. And the weather is perfect for us. We like the cooler weather anyway. But there's a lot of things to do. It's an old miner's town as well. So you can go and you can see the old mines. And there's always something to do in that little town.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Sounds really a lot like the little towns that we fell in love with, too. They're really small, less than 1,000 people. But then, yeah, in the summers, then, of course, everybody goes. But that's awesome. Any other top locations that you want to mention?
You know, surprisingly, we kind of have stuck to the same states. We love Virginia too. I love all the historical parts. We just went to the Shenandoah National Park about a month ago. That was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. There's the scenic highway that you can do. Well, we started from the north to the south, and that's what we recommend doing. And it's a little over 100 miles. And the views you see from both sides is just absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's awesome. We have not been there. So yeah, there's a lot that you mentioned that we have not been to. So I love asking people what they love, because then it just makes our bucket list grow.
We plan, but we also don't plan at the same time just because of Chase's schedule. And then if he has a day off, if he's up for it, then we'll go do something. But if he wakes up and he said, I'm too tired to go anything, then, you know, maybe I'll go by myself or we'll just kind of chill at the camper. But we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants when it comes to doing excursions.
What do you do while Chase is working?
Well, I used to do a lot of baking in the camper. And so when we had first moved to this one place in Texas, I was actually doing farmers markets and private orders for people out of the camper. And then when we started moving around more, I worked a few jobs with him. And then I was still doing my baking, but more of like food photography side. But it was a little bit difficult. And so after that, we had discussed about doing the YouTube channel. If you type in full-time RVers, either like blue collar or welding or any other blue collar job that travels, you don't find anything on there. We thought, you know, what a great opportunity for us to encourage people who either want to do a blue collar job and they can travel, or there are a ton of people that it's just the husband or the wife travels and everyone else stays at home, and to show them that it is possible to bring your family on the road with them. And so we're like, well, let's just start doing this. And the plant that he was at, in this plant, I'm not able to drop him off. Usually I can drop him off and use the truck and go sightseeing stuff, but I've been pretty much stuck at the camper, which is fine. That doesn't bother me at all. But I was like, you know what? This is a perfect time to learn how to use the GoPro, how to do editing. And so, yeah, so now I do that while he's at work. And it's been a lot of learning because, you know, I have a music background and then culinary background, and video editing is not in there.
Well, you are natural. Both of you are naturals in front of the camera. And I can't wait to watch your other videos, but your first one was so impressive. It was so well done. You are so good at this. So I'm glad that you have the time to do it, because that's the hardest part about YouTube, is having the time.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever heard people say, like, for every, I don't know if you find this true too, but we heard that for every 1 minute of your YouTube video, it takes 1 hour to edit. Do you find that that's true? Because we do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because the first few videos, you're learning how to storytell, and we want to be good storytellers with what we do. And it was definitely trying to figure out, all right, how do I want this to start, middle, and end? And finding clips, adding different things. And it's like trying to tell myself with each video, try to learn something new and apply it to the video. So like this past one that I uploaded, it was more of learning how to do speed, like speeding up certain parts, how to zoom in for certain things. And so it's definitely a lot of learning per se, but I definitely agree. It takes a while. And I think what I've learned too is to have a lot of B-roll But outside of the B-roll, try not to have too much video because then it just gets so much and such a hard time to edit everything.
Yes. And I did find everybody's attention span is so small that you want to like change every, you know, 4 to 5 seconds, like do something different. And that's like a lot of cuts and a lot of edits. And unless you're talking, but if it's just B-roll or whatever, like driving, nobody wants to see, you know, 20 seconds of somebody driving. But, you know, a good 5 seconds is so cool. Or you could fast forward it and just even if you put in something in there and then went back to driving, it's just keeps people's attention. There's so much to think about when you're doing a YouTube video. So you're awesome, though, at it. I was so impressed with it. Absolutely loved watching the whole entire thing and wanted more. That's when you know it's good that you're like, oh, what's next? You know, that's so cool.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been wanting to start this for a while, but I've just been so scared that I just haven't started it. And I was like, you know what? Just gotta do it because what's the worst that could happen? And so I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna start slow, learn something new every day, just try to apply it. And yeah, still learning, but I'm enjoying it more now. Definitely at the beginning, it was like, I have no clue what I'm doing.
It doesn't seem that at all. And I think every video you're gonna, like you said, learn a little bit and then apply it. And gosh, who knows, you know, what the next couple months will bring for you too, just with all of that knowledge and experience that you're putting into it. So you're doing great. And we will put a link in the show notes and on our website for your YouTube. I'm excited for everybody to start watching and following your adventures. And so what do you guys do to stay safe on the road? Are you ever concerned about safety?
We've never had any issue with anyone tampering with our truck or our camper. We do sometimes get a little on edge when we're at Walmart parking lots late at night or rest area. I mean, rest areas, we've had good experiences, but we're hoping this year to benefit from Harvest Host. We use escapees for our domicile in Texas, and we're hoping to take advantage of a Harvest Host as we maybe head to Colorado after this job.
Oh, highly recommend it. And then with the add-on of Boondockers Welcome. So I don't know if you know anything about Boondockers Welcome, but so Harvest Hosts are small businesses that will let you stay on their property. And it's amazing. It's so cool. We've done like 7 stays, I think.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. It's so incredible. These people who will open up their parking lot or whatever. We've stayed like at a golf course. We've stayed at a brewery, different places. But Boondockers Welcome is so phenomenal because they're just regular people who have hookups, or maybe they don't, because we've actually stayed at some that have hookups, but they have a place for RVers to come and stay, and they want nothing from you. Like when you stay at a Harvest Host, they want you to spend like $20, you know, for the small business to be able to, you know, patronize them. And we love to do that too. We love small businesses. We love that they're a part of Harvest Host, so we don't mind. But the Boondockers Welcome part are just people who are just super friendly and they love RVers and they want nothing from you. It's so cool. Our first stay was actually at a Boondockers Welcome. We were so nervous. We're like, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to expect. We're going to this farm and they're going to be there, but what do we do? Like, I have no idea. And they were so sweet. It was in Tallahassee, Florida. We felt like we knew them forever. They had this beautiful covered back patio and they're like, you know, we know you're probably tired from driving, but if you have any time, we have fresh watermelon cut on the back patio. So we're like, heck yeah, we'll be out in a little bit. And we just went out and visited with them and we felt like we made friends for life. And anytime we're in that area, we will definitely be booking that Boondockers Welcome. But you'll find that the Boondockers Welcome add-on to the Harvest Host is so worth it. And it's not very much money. And then that opens you up to like over 8,000 locations to be able to stay in the United States. So I think you're going to love it. We really highly recommend it. And we're always looking for that during our travels. It's just so nice to be able to stop and stay and just book right on the app. And you just know that you have that peace of mind where you're going to go. And sometimes they even let you stay for like 3 to 5 nights even.
Oh, wow.
Because see, when we're traveling with the camper, we don't ever plan anything, unfortunately. And so
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we just kind of wing it and go with the flow and found that like in like the dead heat of summer, we'll be at a rest area in Texas and just sweating and trying to sleep. And it's just miserable. We got a cordless DeWalt battery powered fans and it's just miserable. The next time we did that, we were like, you know what? We're just going to just stay at a campground for just one night and travel because with the Harvest Host, I think that's going to be much better than what we have done it in the past.
Because we don't have a generator or solar either.
Oh, wow. And I would highly recommend too looking into a solar generator. They're affordable, and we have boondocked and used our solar generator to run a ton of stuff. There's no sound. There's no fumes. It's just literally just a box that you could bring inside. You can plug in. We've slept with our fan all night, and it really does power a lot. So we actually ran like Starlink, laptops, phone chargers, the fan all day, and it's been amazing. Oh, wow. So that's something to look into, you know, put that on your list. But
yeah, because we've actually never boondocked in the 3 years we've been doing this, which I know a lot of RVers are going to gasp, but just because of his work, we always stay with hookups. And then when we're on vacation, we try to stay with hookups just because it's just so much easier when you're off of work, and we'll stay at a place for such a long time that we just usually stay at RV parks. But a generator, we're definitely going to look into getting one soon.
Yeah, it's nice to boondock just to have the privacy, but there is nothing like the convenience of hookups. So
yes.
Yeah, it's just, it's nice to be able to know that you can boondock if you have to, but yeah, we highly recommend staying with hookups if you can. And like I said, some of the harvest hosts and the boondockers welcome will have it. And we've actually had electric and water and sewer at some of them, and it's been amazing. They don't always say that they're going to have that, but that's a possibility sometimes.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look into that, especially for the rest of this year with how we're going to be moving around. That's definitely got to be something to look into.
Yeah, it's really great. And have you guys ever had like a scary experience while you guys have been driving? Like anything happen with the truck or RV as you guys have been driving at all?
We have not yet. So we know it's coming. So, but we have not had a blowout yet. I always check the lugs, tighten them down with a four-way. And I always check the air pressure before we head out. We have a TPMS on the truck, but we don't have one yet on the camper, which we're hoping to get one soon for that.
Yeah, definitely recommend that. That's one of our top things that we always recommend. That has saved us so many different times. But we've also had a blowout that it happened and it was just not even enough time for the TPMS to register. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So talking about some of the things like TPMS, what are your favorite, you know, RV accessories or must-haves that you guys have found?
I'd say definitely a dehumidifier. That thing, we have a big boy and
35-pint General Electric, which is overkill, but that thing, it's amazing how much moisture it pulls out of, I guess, the walls, the, you know, the AC unit. When it's running, we always have the dehumidifier on. Showers as well.
I am so glad you guys talked about this. Nobody seems to talk about it. And
no, I agree.
Yes, when we were starting out, we were in Florida, and we felt like, I don't know, one morning we felt like everything was damp and we're like, it feels sticky in here. And so we ended up getting one of those like humidity detectors, like to show what the humidity level is in there. And it was like 85% humidity inside. It was like, oh my gosh. And we were researching it and they always say like humidity will destroy your RV.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up getting the same exact one that you guys have.
Wow.
It's the big boy.
We went to like Home Depot and within an hour, it got down to 30%. It was crazy. We now will not be an RV without it. And there's so many people that I ask, like when we're in a Florida and we're staying in RV parks and there, you know, tons of people and I'm walking the dog, just talking, I'll mention about the dehumidifier. Nobody seems to have one. I don't get it.
No, I'm with you.
With our camper, I guess, being older than most, we have carpet throughout the living room. And then in our bedroom, we have, a laminate in our kitchen. And then in our bathroom, we have a separate toilet in its own room with a door. But we definitely felt like you were, you know, talking about damp, you know, the carpet. And then once we got that thing, it's just so much drier in here.
We bought it when we were in Chattanooga and it rained so much while we were there. And no joke, we emptied it out about 4 to 5 times within 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, the first time we emptied it out, we were both like, oh my goodness, there is no way.
Yes.
I mean, it's clear water. I wouldn't drink it or anything, but it's clear water, but it's just nasty to think that how much moisture is in the air.
I empty it every single day. And every day I'm like, man, what did people do without this? I don't understand how people could live without this. It works so good. And it doesn't feel dry, like, because you can set it like where it doesn't drop below. Like, I think we have ours on 45 or 50 or whatever, because you do want some humidity in the air, but you don't want it damp at all. And so I guess I read that if you have it too dry, then you can start getting like bloody noses and something like that. And so we never had any problems, but it's always about, you know, low 40s. That seems to be comfortable. But oh my gosh, when it gets high, it's awful. So yeah, I'm glad that you guys said that. What are some other things that you guys have found that's really helpful?
We love our Berkey. I believe it's a 2.5 gallon, and that thing is amazing. The filtration system and that, those charcoal filters, it's amazing how good the water tastes.
I've heard a couple other people mention that too. I definitely need to look into that.
Yeah, because when we were doing the hotel hopping and stuff, we'd buy bottled waters and bottled jugs to, you know, breakfast and coffee and stuff. But when we moved into the camper, I was like, I don't want to be drinking out of the faucet of the camper. Even if you have the best filtration system, it just didn't sit well for me. So we bought the Berkey and we've absolutely loved it because we stay at a lot of remote RV parks. And so just to kind of have that peace of mind that our water is going to be good, because we'll cook with it, we'll drink it, we won't shower with it, but we absolutely love our Berkey.
Oh, good. And then probably use that to fill your dog's bowl too.
Oh, yes. He's very bougie.
Yes. I know. Ours is too. That's awesome. I definitely need to look into that. Anything else?
Maybe our Starlink is our newest one. Yes, that we just got.
We just got that this year.
Isn't that awesome?
We were at a place where Chase doesn't work for one company. He works for a bunch of different companies. And there was one company that he'll fly out with, and the cell tower went out in our area, and I couldn't get a hold of him, and he couldn't get a hold of me. I had to literally drive to the next town over to get cell service.
Wow.
And because of that, we were like, you know what, let's just bite the bullet and get Starlink. And we've never had a problem with it. I mean, we're in the East Coast right now. We're in Virginia. We were at one RV park that was heavily wooded, and it did great. We're now closer to the coast, and it's doing perfect. We've never had a problem with it.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned Starlink, and I'm so glad you guys have it. Yes, total game changer. We now have high-speed internet wherever we are. We've been in the middle of nowhere where there was zero cell coverage with high-speed internet. And that is a huge game changer too, to be able to use like Wi-Fi calling, because we were going to get like just for emergencies, because we knew we were going to be, you know, remote in Colorado where we weren't going to have cell coverage, but we were, you know, worried about just emergencies. Like what if somebody needed to get a hold of us, or we need to get a hold of somebody else? And so we were going to buy like a satellite radio type thing that was, I think it was like $450. And then there was a, you know, subscription for it. And the Starlink just enabled us to have high-speed internet and use our phone. So it's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I wish more people would be more conscious about that, at least for Starlink when it comes to just calling, not just the Wi-Fi, but just the calling, or have some sort of satellite phone, because you never know what could happen, especially with Chase's job. It is nice to be able to get a hold of him if something does happen, or vice versa.
Because I don't know if we added that we only have one vehicle. The dually that we have is the only vehicle that we have. We did have an older half-ton truck, but we traded that in and got the dually. So for her to be able to call me, this is more of a safety feature.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just peace of mind for both of you guys, too, just so that you know that you can get a hold of each other if you had to. That's really priceless.
Yeah, very thankful for it.
Awesome. And so what are some tips that you guys would give to people that are considering living in this small space, like for getting along? Like, you guys get along so well. It might be because Chase works 80 hours and you never see each other.
Exactly. I'm too tired to say anything. I'm too tired to say anything.
You guys will be married forever if you always work 80
hours. I know.
Yes. Exactly.
No, I'm kidding. You guys are so cute. You get along so well. I love it. I love seeing your reels and your video and all that. But what are some tips that you guys would, you know, recommend or say, like, how do you guys get along so well living in a small space?
I think being very intentional with, you know, not being on our phones. I mean, there are times where we'll veg, we'll watch movies while we eat dinner or different things like that. But I think for us, just being intentional and talking to each other and figuring out game plans of what we want to do next and stuff. Because I mean, like you said, he comes home, he'll eat, and then maybe we'll talk for a little bit and then goes to bed. So I think just being intentional with, you know, the time that we have, because I don't work on the YouTube or anything like that. When he comes home, like, I'll show it to him, the video or like what I've been working on. But after that, like, I won't work on anything when he comes home.
Yeah, your time is so limited. It's so precious. So I love that you really value that time together.
It's funny because a lot of people, you know, it's the complete opposite. They're with them all the time with the RV because either both people work remote. And so you're there with them 24/7. But for us, it's complete opposite.
Yeah, it's so cute because I love the fact that you really look forward to that little bit of time that you have. And then I love that you have, you can look forward to a couple months or more, the time to spend together. And you know that you have to cherish that because coming up is another job where you're going to have to work so much and be separated so long. So I love that you guys could really value that time together.
Yes.
That's so good. And then what advice, since you guys just bought an RV, didn't know anything about RVing, didn't, know if you guys would like this RV life. You're making it look so easy. You're so good at it. You love your RV. It's like perfect. Everything's working out so well. And I'm so glad for you guys. What advice would you guys give to someone who is just maybe seeing you guys and, just like you said, maybe have the blue collar job and they're like, I really want to try this. What advice would you guys give to someone considering this RV life?
I would say try to find someone and just ask questions. There are so many people who, we love helping other people out in this industry. And it is kind of hard to get in with certain either companies or certain industries that you almost need to know someone to get in. And I would just start, if you follow someone on Instagram or, if you're welding, we can't help every blue collar job, but just message people and just say, hey, what do you do? What do you recommend? Because we didn't have anyone when we started. And so I feel like just try to find someone and just ask as many questions. And a lot of people in the RV community will help you out. They will answer your questions. They love helping other people out. And so I wish I would have done that, at least with just the RV and how to operate it. But you live and you learn.
And also for us, we wanted to just be able to share how we do things and what we do for work, because there might be some people that might be on the fence of, well, we want to go full time, but we don't know how we're going to bring an income in, because I'm not tech savvy at all. And my job is with my hands, hand-eye coordination and using, my body to perform tasks, and being able to show people that you can kind of do unconventional things and still be able to get out there and experience it, because we don't work all year round. So it just depends. Sometimes, like last year, I think I only worked 8 months out of the year. And then we just, take the time off just to relax, hang out with family, friends, and get to meet new people and sightsee at new places.
That's such good advice, because a lot of people don't realize that that is an option. And so I love that you guys are doing the YouTube now and active on Instagram and being able to share your story, because a lot of people will reach out and have questions. And that's the one thing I have really discovered with the RV community is they're super helpful people. We all love what we're doing and we want to help other people do it. And definitely don't be shy to reach out and ask any of us anything. And we're happy to share if we can. And if we don't know the answer, we might know somebody else who might. So that's so good. That's awesome. And then one of the questions that we get asked a lot, and I'm so curious to actually hear what your answer is how do you guys get your mail since you're, moving around so much? Where do you guys get it? Do you have like an online service?
We get our mail through Escapees. So when we get to an RV park, we'll just contact Escapees and just have them send it to the RV park address. And it's worked out great for us. We had a little bit of a hiccup with United States Postal Service for a little while, and now we've made the transition into using just FedEx through Escapees, and we've had nothing but good things to say about it.
Oh, I didn't even know that was an option for using FedEx versus the USPS, so good to know.
UPS might be available, but I believe it's just FedEx and USPS.
Okay, awesome. Oh, that's so good. And then, so you said you have your domicile state in Texas, and that's where you guys are from. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome. And I want to find out, and I want you guys to tell the listeners too, where can everyone follow more of your journey? I want you to give us like your YouTube and your Instagram and anything else that you guys have.
So our YouTube channel is called Sparks and Rec. So Sparks, because that's what Chase does for work, and then Rec, because RV is recreational. I can't take the credit for that. I have to thank a friend for that. We struggled for a while to figure out a name that kind of fit us. And then, so that's on YouTube and then Instagram as well. If anyone has questions about the blue collar industry or traveling, that's probably the best place to message us. And we'll try to get, help people out as much as we can there. But those are probably the primary two ways that pretty much active on.
The name is so perfect. Oh my goodness. It is perfect. I'm so glad it was available because it fits so perfect. I love it. And you guys have shared so much great information, super valuable points that you have given everybody about just traveling and how to do this like blue collar life and just another option for people to consider. You guys are so much fun. I've loved sharing into your adventures and watching your YouTube, and I am so excited about keeping up with you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time. You guys are awesome, and I hope to see you one day on the road.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us. We enjoyed it.
That was so much fun, and I hope you enjoyed it too. You will love getting to know Bryce and Chase even more by following them on Instagram and on YouTube. They're doing such a great job starting their YouTube channel, and I know your support would mean so much to them, so be sure to subscribe. You will find all the links in our show notes and on our website at roamandyourhome.com/sparksandrec. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much, I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.